Today's reading comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 32, and can be found on page 1175 of the Church Bibles. Living as children of light. So I tell you this, and insist on it, in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God. From the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbour, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, and must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up in according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. This is the word of the Lord.
There's a danger with all age services, isn't there? There's a danger, and the danger is this: that adults think it's all for the children, and the children think this is all for the adults, and therefore no one thinks that it's actually for them. And therefore we all go away thinking, well, that was nice for the other people, but this hasn't applied to me. So we need to pray that the Lord would help each one of us, that we would be changed, and that we would hear what God is saying to us in the Bible. So let's just pray. Let's talk to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please would you help us to focus on your word, and whatever our age, would you change us and help us to be more like you? Amen. And it is great having little ones around. It doesn't matter if we get a bit of noise from little ones. It shows that they're here and they're awake, and that's brilliant, and we like that. So concentrate on the word of God, and it doesn't matter what little ones do. We're just delighted that they're here, and we hope that they get something from this as well. Now, that passage, you're going to need that passage open in front of you, the passage that was just read. So would you turn to Ephesians chapter 4, page 1175. Okay, page 1175. And just have a look at the first verse that was read. So it's verse 17 of chapter 4. It says this: so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord. Now that's pretty strong, isn't it? So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. In other words, Paul is saying, don't be like everyone else. A big message from these verses is, stand out from the crowd. As Christians, be different. Don't just fit in. Now, lots of us don't like that idea. We quite like fitting. Okay, there are a few who say, actually, I quite like standing out from the crowd. But most of us quite like blending in with the crowd, otherwise there wouldn't be a crowd. We quite like just being a part of, you know, part of what everyone else is doing. Paul says, as Christians, you mustn't do that. We must stand out from the crowd. How? Now, Paul summarizes this in just a few verses, in three verses that I'm going to put up on the screen. And he says this. So it's verses 22 to 24, if you want to follow it in your Bibles, or I've put it up on the screen. This is a kind of summary of the whole passage. He says, "You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." So there are three things, three commands Paul gives there. Okay, did you spot them? Three commands. And we've got actions for each. Okay, so you ready? You need to do actions as well as have your Bible. You might need your Bible on your lap because you're going to need your hands. Okay, first one is this. Put off. Now, for that you've got to imagine an item of clothing. This is imaginary. Don't actually take an item of clothing off every time we do this. Otherwise it could get chilly for you and odd for everyone else. So imagine an item of clothing and you've got to imagine taking that item off. I'm going for a hat at this point. So put off. Ready? One, two, three. Put off. Oh, you're all going hats. Interesting. Yeah, very much wanting to fit in with the crowd here, aren't we? Not standing out. Yes, we'll all do hats. Okay, so ready? We put off the old self. The second thing is this. It is made new, but it's made new in the attitudes of your mind. So we'll point to our minds. So we're made new. Thank you very much. Good joining in. Well done. Made new. So let's go for the first one again. Put off, made new. And the last one, you might have spotted, is put on. So you've got to put on an item of clothing. Same one, possibly, that you just took off, but on the other side. Okay, so you've got to put that one on. Very good. Okay, well done. Put it on. So now I'm going to reread the verses, and when we get to the actions, you do the actions. I know if you're in teenage years, you don't want to do this, but go for it anyway. We won't all look at you or point. So, okay, are you ready? I'm going to read it through. "You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off," very good, "your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." So there you go. There are the three things that Paul is saying. This is how we're going to stand out from the crowd. We put off, made new, put on. Now, we're going to think about those things. First of those ones we're going to think about actually is the middle one. So we're going to think about what it means to be made new in the attitude of your minds. And the first point that we have is this. New thinking. First thing is new thinking. And Paul, in these verses, says... Well, he talks mostly about this in the first half of the set of verses. He says, before you were Christians, or the Gentiles, the people who aren't yet Christians, their thinking isn't right. They don't think in the right way. Their thinking has become darkened, and therefore their actions aren't right. Therefore, they just do what they want to do. It sort of says they kind of just behave the way they want to behave. They kind of do what their desires tell them they want to do. And in verse 22, which we just saw, just had on the screen, it talks about us, our old way of being, where we had deceitful desires. We wanted to do the wrong things. We wanted just to live for ourselves. That's what people do. And yet, Paul says, now, as Christians, your thinking changes. Your desires change. You now don't want just to do what you wanted to do. You want to know God. So your desires completely change. I'd like you to have a think with the person next to you. Can you think of something, anything, could be food, could be clothes, could be TV program, anything where you said, actually, that's something I used to like, but I don't like anymore. Just have a think. Talk with the person next to you, and we'll see what answers we get. Something you used to like, but you don't anymore. Go for it. Okay, make sure the other person has a go as well. I hope that no one has just said, you. That would be nasty. Okay, what have we got? What have people said? What are things that you used to like but you don't anymore? Come on, give us a shout out a few. Let's have a few. Who have we got? What have we got?
Nothing.
Bouncing on a pogo stick. That's a shame. I'd love to see you doing that. Thank you, Andrew. Other things. What else we got? Soaps. Soap operas. I presume you mean as opposed to soap. I hope you haven't gone off that. Okay, what else? Loud action movies. What did you say? Tomato soup. Interesting, yeah. Used to like it. Now I don't know it anymore. Have they changed it? Yes, go for it. Fake grass. That's an interesting one to have gone off. Thank you for that. Anything else anyone wants to say? Some music. Okay. Being vague there on that. Okay, yeah. Very good. Okay, I've got one for you. I used to love Coca-Cola. You know, full sugar Coca-Cola. I used to think this was brilliant. There were some summers in my childhood where I thought, this is just the business, and I just had to have loads of it. It was great. It was really good. But now, I think, actually, that's pretty grim. And I used to hate Diet Coke. I used to think this is really horrible, and I could tell the difference a mile off, you know, just tasting it, little taste, and it was horrible. Now I think Diet Coke is brilliant. I think it's really good stuff, and this stuff is really horrible. Anyone really like full sugar Coke? Okay, well, if you want it, you can come and claim it at the end. But you might have to do it undercover because your mum or dad might not like that. But I've got the Diet Coke. You see, our tastes change. And actually, when we become a Christian, our tastes change. God says that he changes our thinking. Our thinking becomes new. Our desires become new. We now no longer want just to live for ourselves. We want to know God. I met someone last week who said how God had changed the way they thought. He told me about how he became a Christian. And he wasn't a young person. He wasn't a child when this happened. He wasn't a teenager. He was considerably older, I would say. I don't know, sort of 60s, maybe, when he said, actually, he became a Christian. He said he'd heard about Jesus so many times before, been to church services over and over again, and yet one Sunday, he went along, and all of a sudden, God opened his eyes, and he thought, this is brilliant. I've got to know more about this. And he went on an Alpha course, found out more about Jesus, and you could just see it in his eyes. He's now got this hunger to know God. He wants to know God. Where before he thought, oh, God, yeah, I was all right, and church is okay. All of a sudden now his thinking has just changed. His desires have changed. He's been made new in his thinking. And we need that as well. That's the first thing we need. Now, we're going to think in a few moments about putting off and putting on. But we're going to sing first. And we're going to stand and we're going to sing together, "There is an Everlasting Kindness." So please would you stand. As we sang there, we talked about what God has done for us and the way that we are to relate to the world. So we've just thought in those verses, first point, new thinking. The way that we are to change in the way we think, our desires, what we want, what we're interested in, what we want the most. And now we're going to have a look at the verses again. No, so let's do the actions. Okay, you get ready to do the actions. I want to see them good and big. "You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." And so we've thought about being made new. Now we're going to think about put off and put on. And Paul says, the way that we think, the change in thinking, the change in desires, then needs to be seen in the way that we relate to one another. And we've thought a lot about this over the last few weeks, that actually Paul talks a lot about us as a church being a family, being a building, and therefore it matters how we relate to one another. Really important how we are with one another, whether we're getting on or whether we're not. Or whether we're looking out for one another, whether we're just looking out for ourselves. We thought about those things already. But Paul says this putting off, putting on, has got to shape the way we live. Okay, so we've got five things that Paul then goes on to say that we need to take off, put off, and then put on. And for each one, I've got an item of clothing here that I'm going to change. You don't need to. Okay, here we go. Now, don't worry, it doesn't get risque. Okay, so just to help us remember. Okay, first thing is this. Put off. Have a look in the verses. Verse 25. Now, just before I get to what we take off, just notice in verse 24, just your eyes up just a little bit, it says, and to put on the new self created to be like God. Now, just notice that for a moment. So all of this change is going from putting ourselves first to actually, I want to be like God. So we're putting on godly characteristics, it's like we're putting on godly clothing. Okay? So, first thing, verse 25, therefore each of you must put off falsehood. So we put off lying. So, okay, here goes, the tie goes for this one, because we're going to put off, and unfortunately the microphone goes at that point as well. There we go, that comes back. So we put off lying, so that's going to go. So we put that one there. Okay, so lying goes. We've got to take that off. Now that's all falsehood, isn't it? That's all speaking things that are untrue. So if we're saying lies, if we are saying things to one another which just isn't true, maybe we're flattering people. We're saying, you know, really, really nice things about the person, but actually it's just not true. We've got to put those off. Or sometimes we make up things about what other people are saying. It's not what they're saying, it's their motives. Have you ever done this? Maybe it's easier to do with emails because you can't tell what's going on behind it. So you receive an email from someone and you go, ah, typical, the reason they've sent that is da 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 da. It's not in the email at all, it was never there. But you've just made it up. And we kind of then tell that to someone else and it wasn't true in the first place. And then, oh, it all goes horribly wrong. So we make up things sometimes which aren't true. And we say, we've got to take that off. We've got to get rid of that. Put that somewhere else. Okay, get rid of lying. Get rid of untruths. And put on what? What have we got to put on? So it says, verse 25, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully. So we've got to put on truth. We've got to put on truth, haven't we? So this is my truth tie. It's just a Bugs Bunny one, actually, so there's nothing particularly special about that. But there we go. So we'll put that one on. Okay. May have got the lengths all wrong, but that's not the point. Okay. Yep, length's completely wrong. Never mind. That's okay. Okay, so, got rid of falsehood, and we put on truth. We've got to speak to one another with truth. Things that are true, that are good. Sometimes that means being brave, doesn't it? That actually we've got to speak the truth to one another. But we've got to remember why. We're doing this because we want to be like God. Yeah, we're putting on the new self, which was made to be like God. And does God ever lie? No, God never lies. God always speaks the truth. And therefore, we do this because we want to be like God. So we speak the truth to one another. Okay, so lying goes. Truth we put on. Next thing to go. We put off. There we go. We go for it. Verse 26. It says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. So we put off sinful anger. Now, the commentators say, you know, it may well be that Paul is saying here, actually, there's some kinds of anger which are kind of okay. They're good, because, and that's right, isn't it? There are some things where you say, that is a complete injustice. I should be angry with that. If I'm not angry with that, there is something wrong with me. You go, yeah, that's true. But we've still got to be self-controlled. He says, don't let it just go out of control, become rage, become something beyond one day. He says, actually, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Now, that's good. I remember someone saying to Bev and myself, that's a good tip for married couples. Don't go to bed angry. Deal with the issue. Deal with it before you get to bedtime. Don't let it become something that goes on days and days and days. No, no, no. Deal with things straight away. Deal with them. And actually, how much of our anger, if we're honest, how much of our anger is a proper, actually, this is to do with, it's a righteous anger, it's to do with something in God's word. How many times when you get angry do you say, yes, it's to do with something in the Bible, and it's genuinely a good thing that I'm angry at this moment. No, 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 it doesn't happen very often, does it? Most of the time it's because we're not getting what we want. And so we blaze up in anger because we're not getting what we feel we should have and what we think we deserve and what, it's unfair, life's unfair. And so we get cross, we get angry. And Paul says, we've got to take that off. We've got to take off anger. Here goes the microphone again. So we're going to take this one off now. We're going to take the jacket off. So that's got to go. Sinful anger has got to go. Okay, so we'll put that one down there. And we've got to put on. What have we got to put on? Well, we've got to put on self-control. I've kind of put that one in there, but that's what it is. So here's the different jacket. This is the self-control jacket. Hope you're enjoying that one. Yes, you don't see it very often. That's because I gave up being an ice cream seller to become a vicar. Okay, so you put on self-control. In other words, we're not just going to blaze with anger, we're going to deal with it. We're going to, by the end of the day, we're going to, you've dealt with it, all right? So we need to take off sinful anger, put on self-control. And notice that it says there, and do not give the devil a foothold. How can we give the devil a foothold? How do we give the devil a foothold among us? It's by being angry with one another and not being self-controlled. If we go on being angry and sort of resentful and bitter towards one another, the devil has a foothold among us. And that's what the devil wants. He wants to get into relationships. He wants to get in among us and rip us apart. That's what he wants. And so if we're angry with one another, if we don't forgive one another, we'll come on to this a little bit later as well, then actually the devil has a foothold among us. He can have a go at us. So we've got to deal with anger in a self-controlled way. Okay, next one. Third one. What are we going for next? Oh, yes, I remember. Okay, put off. Verse 28. What do you think we put off there? Have a little look. Verse 28. Put off stealing. I don't know why. Last week and this week, the letters have gone all over the place. I don't know what's going on with that. Anyway, there you go. It's stealing, which is the Greek form of stealing. Stealing. Anyway. Yes, so we've got to put that off. So shoes are coming off this time. Okay, so we get rid of stealing. That's what they represent. If I thought about it, I've written the word stealing all over my shoes. But there you go. So get rid of stealing. Got to put off the old self. The old self is stealing. Now, maybe that many people here would think, well, okay, I don't steal. Well, okay, but maybe there are some here, you go, actually, maybe you do take things that aren't yours. You wouldn't class it as stealing, but it's sort of using things that you shouldn't do at work, other places. You take things that actually don't belong to you. You go, well, actually, you've got to put that on one side. But what are you to put on instead? What should the person who steals put on? Okay, they stop stealing. Verse 28, what are they to do instead? They are to work. Work with their hands so that they can share. So instead of grasping for themselves, they're giving out to others. So we've got other shoes going on here. Very comfy, a bit trainery. There we go. So we put on sharing with one another and looking for ways to share, to give to other people. I'm going to tie them up, otherwise you'll get scared that I'm going to fall over. There we go. Okay, so no longer stealing, but sharing, generosity, giving, having any opportunity to give money, possessions, to share with others who need it. That's it, put on sharing, thank you very much. To put on sharing. So we take off stealing, grasping for ourselves, and put on sharing. Okay, next one. Put off. What's the next thing? Oh, sorry, yeah, no, I should have said, verse 30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit there. Interesting that comes in there. Sometimes people take that out of context. Obviously, within the context, it's if we resist doing these things, if we say, actually, no, I'm not going to put off these things, I'm not going to put on the new things, I'm just going to resist. Some think it maybe goes back to the Old Testament when the Israelites in the desert were hard-hearted, they just didn't do what God said, and God got angry with them. And Paul is saying, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, we grieve the Holy Spirit by not changing, by not having changed minds, not having changed actions towards one another as well. So we've got to be careful on that. That we don't grieve the Holy Spirit. We need to change. Next one. Oh, no, I've got ahead of myself, haven't I? Verse 29, I'm sorry. Verse 29, next one is bad speech. There you go, verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. So what's unwholesome talk? Unwholesome talk would be, well, it's kind of things that are going to do damage to other people, isn't it? It's slander. It's making things up about other people, saying nasty things about other people. Just sort of bad jokes, maybe, crude jokes. So, boys and girls, you know, in the playground sometimes, other boys and girls don't use good words sometimes, do they? They use words that they shouldn't use, really. Well, don't join in with that. Just because they're doing it, don't you join in. Take off the old self, put on the new to be like God, and don't use bad words, use good words. Don't hurt other people with your words, but rather, we got to put on. Now, for this, I didn't have something to take on because I wasn't wearing a hat. Sorry. But you can imagine, take my wig off and put it out. It is a wig. And put it down there. And we put on the new self. So we've got the hat to put on. And we're putting on building speech. Building speech, which is speech which will build other people up. But it's, you know what, it's constructive. It's helping other people. Helping other people particularly to grow in the faith, in the truth. But it's thinking, before I speak, you know that classic one, is it helpful, is it good, is it true? Something like that. Is it going to help other people? Is it going to build other people up by what I say? So building speech, rather than vulgar jokes or bad language. Okay, last one. You've got to put off... Well, now I had to summarise the next bit because there's kind of a whole list. So I had to summarise this a little bit. Kind of nastiness. Just have a look. You see what I mean. Verse 31. It says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. It's kind of get rid of everything where you're against other people. You're kind of just being nasty, you're holding on to grudges, you're just being vicious, being nasty about others. And you may think, well, there's no one here who would be like that because we're Sunday morning and we look pretty all right and we're kind of quite polite with one another. But we know, don't we, there can be times where on the outside that's what we like, but on the inside we are raging. And back home maybe there's bitterness in the family, in marriage, or at work there's just bitterness. And we cover it up, but actually in our hearts it's still there. And Paul says, we've got to take that off. So we take that off. This is going to be the glasses are going to go. So we take off, wherever you are, forget about that. We take off nastiness. I'm not that bad. We take off nastiness, and we put on, again, I've had to summarise, love and forgiveness. I don't know why these letters are going all over the place. Okay, love and forgiveness. That's what we've got to put on. And that means... that's sort of summarised in verse 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. We've got to forgive each other. We can't let things sort of go on and on where we don't forgive each other. We've got to be saying, actually, I'm ready to forgive, I'm willing to forgive, I'm there to forgive. Why? The motivation is there, isn't it, in the verse. It says, just as in Christ God forgave you. Just as God's forgiven you, he's forgiven you everything. Far more than you could have to forgive others. And because we want to be like God, we say, okay, therefore I'm going to forgive others, whatever it may be. And actually, it is a very liberating thing to do. You may think, I can't possibly forgive, I can't do it, I won't do it, I can't do it, it's too hard. Actually, it's harder. What you find is it's harder holding on to the unforgiveness. It is very liberating to say, actually, I'm going to forgive. Because if you're not forgiving, you've got to remember, oh, yeah, there's that person. I'm not going to forgive them. I've got to be nasty to them. I've got to keep remembering that, and I've got to shut them out. It actually takes energy to do that. And what you find is when you forgive, when you say, actually, I'm going to forgive you that. I'm going to forgive that thing from the past. I'm not going to bring it up in my mind. I'm not going to bring it up with you, and I'm not going to bring it up with God anymore. Actually, that is very liberating. It is a great joy to forgive, remembering that it's because God's forgiven us. So, what goes on? We've got different glasses to go on. There we go. I hope this is helping you remember. Okay, so, we've got to put on love and forgiveness and kindness. And that is the way that we have to be together. I'm going to have to take them off because I can't see what I'm doing. That is the way we've got to be together. Oh, thanks, Teresa, taking the picture. thank you. Okay, so. Now, okay, serious for a moment. Okay, here we go. These are all the... Oh, no, they've gone wrong again. Okay, you can see most of them, yeah? Okay, have a look and just remember, I will read them out again. Now think for a moment, because if all we do is hear this and we don't put this into practice, then it's no good. It hasn't actually changed us, has it? So think, which of these do you need to change for this week? What do you need to put off and what do you need to put on? So put off lying, put on truth. Put off sinful anger, put on self-control. Put off stealing, put on sharing. Put off bad speech, put on building speech. Put off nastiness and put on love and forgiveness. Just take a moment. Which of those particularly? Because we all need to do it. There's no one here who's saying, I've got them all sorted. We all need to change. Okay, which one? Just spend a moment. We're going to pray about that in just a moment. Now remember, first thing is new thinking. If you're not a Christian here today, don't think that becoming a Christian is just about changing your behavior, just about putting off, putting on. It's the change of thinking first. So if you're not a Christian, first thing you need to do is to love Jesus. And the way to do that, actually, the biggest thing you can do is just to read the Bible. Read one of the Gospels. Get into it. See who Jesus is. If you're a Christian, that new thinking needs to result in putting off and putting on. We need to change. And that's how we stand out from the crowd. I mean, I would stand out from the crowd like this anyway. But actually, we need to stand out from the crowd by behaving in the way Paul talks about. Interesting, the book of Ephesians is the one book where you would say, okay, if you want to think about church, that is the book to look at. He doesn't mention anything about the style of singing, the style of songs. He doesn't mention anything about that. Whether you use liturgy or not, he doesn't mention anything about that. The way we stand out is our relationships with one another. You see, you can have a church which is very slick, very amazing on Sunday mornings, but actually is pulling each other apart, very skillfully, but still pulling one another apart. Or you can have a church family where actually we are doing the putting off and putting on, but we all need to be engaged in it. I'm going to pray for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please would you help us to become more and more like you. Change the way we think and change the way we behave. Please would you help each one of us when it comes to that thing that we thought of that we need to put off and put on. Please, by your Spirit, help us to do it, because on our own we can't. On our own we'd struggle and we'd fail. But please, Father, would you change us. Amen.